The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again. Not of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it's full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous, throw into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord. The first reading, I believe, is very, very important and very applicable to us today. I'll try to give you the context and the application for ourselves. Okay, this is the context. The Jewish people asked to have a king. God didn't want that because God wanted to be their king, but he gave in to them. So if you read through the book of Kings and Sam, you're going to see a few kings that are pretty good, but most are pretty lousy. Pretty bad, no? And some are just downright dumb, no? Okay, so David is the king over Israel for decades. He gets old and David has children. So news is brought to David that Adonijah is going to be the king. The prophet comes to David and says, "Is it true that Adonijah is going to be the king?" And Bathsheba also has another son whose name is Solomon. So the prophet comes to David and said, "Is it true you're going to choose Adonijah over Solomon?" So both the prophet and Bathsheba says, "David, who's already feeble, almost blind, they say, please, let Solomon be our king." And David says, "Solomon will inherit my throne." So David goes to sleep with his forefathers, and Solomon is king with his kingdom firmly established. That's the context of the reading today. You have to understand that to understand the rest of the reading. Now Solomon is king, but he's very young. Very young. So he has a conversation with God today in the first reading. And God asked Solomon, "What are you going to ask for? Ask for whatever you want." Solomon could have asked for a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of prestige, a lot of pleasure. a lot of servants. He could have. But he didn't ask for that. What did he ask for? He asked for a wise and discerning heart so that he could govern this people. So numerous, he couldn't even count them. God is very happy that he asked for that. Consequently, as a result of that very wise, intelligent prayer, God gave him a wise and discerning heart. The wisest, most intelligent man on the face of the earth was what was Solomon. And there would never be anyone like him afterward. Not only that, but he blessed him with all other things. Gold, silver, money, buildings, workers, soldiers. He had it all. Such that with the masons, the woodcutters, the architects, the engineers, you're going to build the most majestic building in the whole world. It's called the Temple of Jerusalem. What Jesus said can be torn down. Year 68 by the siege of the Romans, right? There's the most majestic artifact in the history of the world. And there's a queen that heard about Solomon, about his wisdom. He traveled from the farthest corners of the world, the Queen of Sheba, sat at the feet of Solomon, and the word is she was breathtaking. Breathtaking. To see the order, the symmetry, the organization of the tables, the meals, the servants. Perfect order. But I think you have to end on this note. We can't be idealists. We have to be realists. Solomon, who was the wisest man on the face of the earth, ends up as the biggest fool. You know why? Because Solomon had a harem. A harem is not a word used too much, but it's, I mean, like whole group of women for his wives. And a good number of them were pagans. And they brought into Solomon the desire to build temples to their pagan gods, and Solomon paid tribute to these pagan sanctuaries. So the wisest man in the world ends up as the biggest fool. Now, Teresa of Avila once asked the Lord, was Solomon saved? And our Lord would not respond. I don't know. Good question. Teresa, is Solomon saved? Was he saved? What do you think? We'll find out when we die, right? You know, my interpretation is this. We have to pray for perseverance. You're here today. Will you be here tomorrow? I don't think we should nod our heads so quickly, no? I think we can only say, I hope. The best of us can become the worst almost overnight without God's grace. Maybe try to do this today. Try to stand on one leg. And Paul says, when you're standing, careful lest you fall. Get a powerful wind or someone knocks, bumps into you, fall flat on your face, and it knocks the mask off your face. Huh? St. Philip Neri. He saw a bum, and he said, there go I, save the grace of God. All of us can easily, the painting of Da Vinci turned from Jesus into Judas, can't we? Personal anecdote. Every summer I'd go back to visit my relatives in Motown, Detroit. Back 50 years ago, basically, probably 90% of the Catholics practiced their faith. And I had a cousin a couple years older than me. In time, he veers off from the Catholic faith and gets involved in transcendental meditation. Receives what would be equivalent to a doctorate in TM. And I think to this very day he's practicing it in the Midwest, the Chicago area. Now why isn't it that Dr. Edward Brome, doctorate in transcendental meditation, is not standing before you giving a talk? You're going to say, because this is a Catholic Mass. Okay, gotcha. You often wonder, why is he the one teaching TM, and why am I preaching the Catholic faith? In any inherent goodness within me? Probably not. Maybe the prayers of my mother, maybe someone offered a Mass for me. But Solomon is a very interesting figure. He's got all these great talents. And he ends up by flaunting them because he gave his heart to foreign women. We might even say the god of the century is lustfulness, right? In one way or another, right? Falling after false gods with our minds, our eyes, and our hearts. And life is short. I'd like to end with one more story. Talk about the true wise man. Who's the wisest man in the Catholic Church after Jesus? You know him, he's your friend. Thomas Aquinas. The wisest of the wise of all the theologians. At the end of his life, Jesus appeared to him. You probably don't know this, but he never finished the Summa Theologica, which is the greatest theological work ever written. I thought you didn't know that. You learned something new today, right? It seemed to be complete, but there were still some finishing touches. At the end of his life, Jesus appeared to him on the cross and said, Thomas, you've written well. What would you like? Like Solomon before he fell, he said, Lord, I ask for one gift. Grant me the grace to love you more and more and more each day. Thomas Aquinas is the great Solomon in the Catholic Church. Let's pray that we beg for that grace and pray for final perseverance. As Philip and Neri said, there go I, save the grace of God. Let's ask St. Joachim and St. Anne, the parents of Mary, we celebrate their feast day today, right? They gave us that pearl of infinite price. The gospel today, that pearl of infinite price is Mary, the Mother of God. And I believe if we pray to her, we'll persevere. We'll persevere until the end. Amen.